Following is a Thanksgiving service for release of the hostages held on 12181.
Hear now the word of God. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor, who desire my hurt, let them be appalled because of their shame, who say, Ah, ah. May all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. May those who love thy salvation say evermore, God is great, but I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry. Let us pray. Lord God, who heareth all prayers, we give you thanks and praise this day for the deliverance of our countrymen. May we from this experience come to know you and your power. May we from this experience draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As I have watched the unfolding drama of the release of 52 American hostages after 444 days of imprisonment, I've experienced a number of different emotions. I have felt anxiety over the tedious and uncertain negotiation process. I have felt anger and growing resentment over repeated delays and hitches in setting these people free. I experienced immense relief when I knew for sure their plane was in the air and when I heard finally that they were out of Iranian airspace. I have felt a solidarity, a communion with numerous people I never met, hostages, their families, negotiators, government officials, and other rejoicing Americans. I experience a sense of gratitude. I feel I have received a gift in the release of these captives. What do I do with all of these feelings? How can this welter of experience be brought to some clear focus? What does it all mean to me? In order to answer these questions, I have come here to worship, to a special service of prayer and praise and reflection. One reality comes home to me through my memory, not just of the last few days, but of the 444 days. That reality to me is central and unavoidable. That reality is our utter vulnerability. Our vulnerability as Americans in the present world. I hear this senator or that government official being interviewed and talking about how we must so strengthen our military and so design our diplomatic work that we will guarantee that nothing like this will ever happen again. And I know that's impossible. It could happen again tomorrow. The truth of the matter is we cannot be invulnerable. Not our embassies, not our homeland, not our families, not ourselves. There is no safe place in this world. And to talk as if this is possible is to live in fantasy. And that brings me to a second recognition, which the liberation of the hostages has caused me to experience. It's the recognition that life is a gift. Every day I live is a gift from the hands of God. I have done nothing to earn or deserve this life. If I set about to make myself invincible, if I try to build up a fortress so none can harm me, then I am pretending to be something I am not. I am pretending to be a self-caused being. What really holds me hostage and you hostage is not a foreign government, and it isn't other people. It is the quest to become invulnerable, the attempt to be utterly protected from life's contingencies. And in a strange way, the release of these hostages brings home to me the reality that I am liberated only when I remember that life is a gift, and my only source of security is the giver of that gift.
Let us pray the psalm together in responsive fashion. Come and see what marvels God has done, so much to be feared for his deeds among mankind. So let us rejoice in him who rules forever by his power. You tested us, God. You refined us like silver.
You let us fall into the net. You laid a burden on our heads.
But now the ordeal by fire and water is over, and you allow us once more to draw breath. God not only heard me, he listened to my prayer. Blessed be God, he listened to my prayer.
This past Christmas was a particularly depressing time for me. As I sat with my family all together and watched tapes of the hostages sending messages to their families and friends. Messages of love, of pain, of separation, of anger, and of hope. I watched them very closely as they shared their intimate selves with millions of people by way of a television camera. And my own emotions ran rampant, as did theirs. I heard their anger because their mail was not getting through. I heard the pain of separation as anniversaries, weddings, and new births were missed. I heard the pain of loneliness and the fear of the unknown. I heard them time and time again say those simple words to their families and their friends. I love you. And I heard words of hope that this long, tiring, and vicious ordeal would soon be over. And now it is. As their emotions ran rampant on that Christmas day, so have my own the last several days and even today. And I feel all kinds of feelings as I experience this time with them. I am angry that through violence and violation of rights and international diplomacy, the country of Iran took 52 Americans hostage for 444 days and then continually rubbed our noses in it. I am confused and somewhat frightened about our own country's involvement in many foreign governments in past years and presently. I am embarrassed and ashamed that too often I sat and complained about the situation of my life while 52 of our fellow Americans saw very little daylight, heard very few birds singing, and were not even allowed to talk to one another very much. I am painfully saddened that loved ones were separated for so long, and that now in the midst of their celebration, they still have painful experiences yet ahead of them as they get to know each other once again and try to work through the psychological trauma that the last 444 days have brought them. But I have many good feelings too, feelings of celebration, of excitement and sheer joy that they are free at last, tired but free, and that a nation hurting and torn has come together as the pulse of one heart in celebration of their freedom. I've had butterflies in my stomach and tears of joy as I heard church bells ring yesterday, as I have seen balloons rise and float in the air, as I have seen candles and the national Christmas tree finally get lit, and as I have seen thousands upon thousands of yellow ribbons tied around everything from the old oak trees to the control tower at Washington's National Airport. But I listened in the wee hours of this morning to former hostage Richard Queen as he recounted for CBS News his own personal experiences before he was released last July. And I experienced yet another feeling, one that I hope will not go away, one that I hope will last, as I was brought unashamedly to my knees in humility. I found it very difficult to believe that a man whose rights were so blatantly disregarded and abused could come away so kind and so calm. And I wondered for myself what I would respond to if my rights were so abused. But the truth of the matter is that I have no rights. For my Christian experience teaches me daily that life to me is a gift from God. And so I raise my praise and my thanksgiving to our God that in his granting of this new gift of life to these my 52 brothers and sisters, I too have been granted life.
Let us all now pray to God, each in his or her own way. Let us pray. Let's pray together the prayer our Lord gave to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'm sure that all of us who are here on the platform would agree that this is a difficult assignment which we have been given. How is one to express, represent this community at a time like this by expressing the feelings and thoughts evoked by the glad news that our fellow citizens are on their way home? Just as was true with all of you, The news provoked mixed and powerful feelings in me. Somehow it was therapeutic to watch and listen as people were interviewed on television. I heard government leaders, people in the street, and members of the families describe their reactions to the events. For me, the most memorable statement came from a widowed mother of a hostage. Her statement was a rather poignant one because she talked about how in the time of her stress and trial, there was no one to whom she could turn. And there was a time, as she talked about it, in which she gave up all hope. She reached a point of absolute hopelessness. And then she ended her statement by saying, "He is free, and I am free." That said it for many of us. A part of my good feeling in all of this came from empathy with the families. At least I hope that that is true. But a great part of my relief was due to a personal experience of release. I have also been a hostage for 444 days, a hostage to tensions, anxieties, fears, resentment, and anger. They were free, and I was free. Then I remembered a word from the Gospel of John: "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Freedom in its highest sense is not derived from outward circumstances of freedom. Paradoxically, it is often experienced in the worst and most abject slavery. Solzhenitsyn experienced that freedom in Russian imprisonment. Viktor Frankl experienced it in the slavery of a Nazi concentration camp. Now, at this moment, it seems to me, we stand in desperate need of this freedom. What is the liberating word from God at this moment? The one that came to me as I heard this memorable statement is found in the Gospel according to Matthew. It's a well-known verse. "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, do not resist evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." And then a little later on, "You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies." We remember that this word spoken by Jesus was also taken seriously by him, very seriously. The cross is a monument to his commitment to it. We shall not be free now if we are the slaves of resentment and the desire for revenge. We now have a unique opportunity, the opportunity to break the destructive cycle of hate and retaliation by the power of this unusual love. Once again, we have the opportunity to allow the cross to become a reality in a concrete historical situation by acting as people who have been liberated by his redeeming love. As we rejoice in the liberation of our fellow citizens, may we also rejoice in our own personal liberation.
Hear now the word of God. In the words of St. Paul, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died, yea, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, Christ has died and Christ has risen. There is good news for all who will hear. May the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit go with you, strengthen you, sustain you, both in this life and the life to come. Amen.